Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in time for Daily Editorial. It is Thursday, day of the Alamo Bowl that the Huskies are, where we're going to beat Texas. I want to address a couple of comments that came in from Irish Tony. Irish said that he thought the article from the New York Analysis of Policy and Government was a bit of a waste of time. I totally disagree with that, Tony, and the reason I disagree with it is I thought it really encapsulated very well what happened in 2022 in the United States, particularly the sentence that stated it was the year that common sense and common decency were shunted aside by ideologues who saw the suffering they caused as irrelevant to their pursuit of progressive goals. That tells me exactly what's going on in the United States, and I was happy to see it in one place, for lack of better terms. Tony, you mentioned that, or I'm sorry, Avalon, you mentioned that a lot of people are exempt from any of the shots that are said to not promote, certainly, but said to diminish the chances of somebody getting COVID. I researched that a bit because that, to me, didn't seem exactly normal. Talked off mic to Jimmy about it, and Jim said you were absolutely correct. That doesn't seem fair to me. Jim, you want to elaborate on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously you can't really understand exactly why the exemptions were given to a large number of people, but apparently there's quite a few in Health and Human Services and the HHS, and these are probably, I mean, you can only speculate, but you can speculate that people were afraid of the research. They're afraid that there was a lack of research and a lack of understanding of what the impact would be. And you could also speculate that maybe some of them understood that maybe there wasn't, that there's some risk involved here. As we get more and more data, many of those positions are justified, though the sad thing is the exemptions that went forward in a lot of these offices in order to keep from losing some of their key, probably analysts and scientists, you know, show that there's a serious problem in our system right now with trust and faith and confidence in what they're willing to do.
Jim, I also want to talk about the subpoena that the January 6th committee assured America would haul Trump into court, for lack of better terms. That subpoena has now been dropped, and I am not surprised at all that all of that happened because of the public control now of the House. I think that subpoena would not be handled in the direction that the way the Democrats would like to see it handled. How do you feel about that, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to lose control of that committee. Democrats, the people that have bit very one-sided position on the committee, as they lose control, they will, there's going to be other aspects of the January 6th issue that are going to come out. Certainly the specifics on security that Nancy Pelosi was very lackadaisical, if not actively pursuing a policy that would create conditions to cause a riot. So that, to me, that's, you know, the committee throwing in the towel as they're ready to lose that power. But more importantly, the Trump team had filed a stay against that subpoena, and they probably would have lost in court, probably realized that. So that would have been another embarrassment. But as they lose control of these committees in the House, then you're going to see a very different outcome. I am actually hearing and seeing some articles that, Republicans don't care about investigations, and that's by Republicans. It's actually by the Republicans that are, I'll say it, the rhinos, the people that want things to be the way they have always been, the kind of corruption in D.C. The most important thing that this Republican Congress can do, this Republican House can do, is highlight and open the books on censorship, open the books on DOJ and FBI involvement in political outcomes, and certainly to go into detail on the failures of this entire COVID policy as more and more information is coming out through the opening of channels. allowing alternative.
It certainly would appear that the COVID situation has been handled totally and appropriately. And what I want to discuss in that particular realm is, I'm not sure realm is the right word, but let's say in that particular environment, so I guess realm is the right word. I really have to wonder if, Jim, you basically are stating along with a lot of other people that the reason COVID is being handled the way it's being handled in America is basically as a method of controlling American people. You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I mean, once again, I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned that the silencing of voice, that using these tools of governance were to expand the power of government and specifically to take away individuals' choices and basically protect institutions rather than protecting individuals.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredibly dangerous. The purpose of our government is to protect individual rights, not to grant them rights. And what they've done is taken away those rights. So in many of these cases. So I'm very concerned about that.
You know, I am too, to tell you the truth. I want to bring up the fact that the complexion of all of the judges that Biden has selected, other than the Supreme Court judges, is very, very interesting. Came out today in the news, particularly. Actually, it was even on Yahoo, but there is absolutely zero representation on the new within the new judges of percentage of population. If you follow my drift, a lot of African Americans and overabundance of African Americans and overabundance of females are being placed in these positions, and the average white Caucasian is simply left out of what I think is his or her rightful place in that. How do you feel about that?
Well, let's just, the entire purpose of this is political adherence to diversity, equity, inclusion,
yeah.
DEI, or what I'll call DIE, D-I-E, diversity, inclusion, and equity, which eventually undermines meritocracy. It undermines the value of individuals that have actually succeeded, because it puts anybody in based on a color, based on their race or their gender, or lack of gender. And what that does is not make the best people for the job, but it political sycophants, political supporters, and people that they can actually continue to orchestrate and control the rule of government that actually forces their agenda on people. And I think most Americans don't support many of these things. But because they have the power right now in the Senate and they have the power in the executive branch, they're able to push forward these nominations and get them through. And unfortunately, really bad Republican leaders, and I will call out in my own state, Lindsey Graham has said, hey, there's consequences to elections. So he goes ahead and supports some of these very unfortunate appointments based on very skewed views, which is exactly the way Washington used to work, and unfortunately, that's corrupt. And we're seeing the ramifications of it. We're seeing the loss of American choice, of American freedom, actually of the American vote in many places right now. So very, very frustrating to see that type of selection, rather based on merits and ignoring people's color or their gender, and accepting the fact that people have not equal opportunity, but they can reach out and have equal chance is to be able to improve themselves, and rather than forcing numbers and statistics. And unfortunately, this administration is completely messed up. You could not, in my view, you could not be doing more to damage the infrastructure of America, the entire thought of America, than what this administration has been doing with this type of policy, personnel policy.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, again, another fact that this New York analysis of policy and government brought out that is, I think, certainly worthy of a little bit more than just, a bit of attention is the fact that mainland China, the CCP, is purchasing very large amounts of property in the United States, specifically a piece of property that is adjacent, a very sensitive governmental operation in the Dakotas that was allowed to be purchased by the mainland Chinese. That makes me very uncomfortable. How about you, Jim?
Smithfield Farms, the record producers bought by the Chinese. You start naming, you know, major banks, major influences, all reaching in and using the freeness of our system in order to actually influence and long-term control to push us towards their system. We're seeing it through the tech industry. We're seeing it through manufacturing. We're seeing it across the board. A very dangerous precedent set, and especially as they're pushing things like what's been happening the last few days with exercises around Taiwan, what the North Koreans are doing in South Korea with the drones, and of course, you know, what's happening in Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah. Well, the war, as far as the Russians are concerned, in the Ukraine really took a step up as of yesterday in terms of the number of missiles and the number of drones that are being shot into Ukraine. A lot of people getting killed, specifically Ukrainians, and a lot of real estate is being destroyed. So Putin apparently has ramped it up quite a bit in the last day or so. Comments on that, Jim?
Well, he's definitely trying to push. You know, he's in a desperate situation right now. There's a lot of domestic pressure on him for failure, for this dragging out so long. He's trying to do as much damage to the infrastructure of Ukraine as he possibly can to undermine people's confidence in the government to protect them. It's a strategic plan that they've had to shift to, which is consistent with the way Russia has always fought wars, to do as much damage and intimidate people as much as possible. Their challenge is how effective and how long can they pursue that, and will it in fact break the back of the Ukrainian people? Because my belief is the Ukrainians are only getting more and more angry with Russia. It's a very delicate balance with other NATO partners, it's for the Ukrainians not to reach into Russian territory too far to keep the flow of arms going to Ukrainian forces. But that may break with outlying Ukrainian forces in frustration with how much damage is done on the civilian population.
Well, I got to tell you, one other consideration.
Let me just finish one other thing. So this is a very interesting piece of fact that many people don't know. So on the 24th of December, the former ground forces commander of the Russian Ministry of Defense was scheduled to meet with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
The roads were, icy. They cleared the roads for his little, convoy to head into to meet with Putin.
Yeah.
Putin canceled that at the last minute, and then the general died on Christmas Day. There is a lot of intrigue going on with people that have spoken out against Putin. Many senior oligarchic members of the regime, former supporters, have died in just mysterious circumstances. One guy was thrown out the top of a building. A lot of this is happening. That will not go well, and you can expect to have more turmoil inside the Kremlin as more pressure is on them for failures in Ukraine, and then other people fear what's happening with the control and the basically silencing of opposition.
Yeah.
This is not a good situation. It could very much destabilize the entire region.
Jimmy, what I find to be really interesting is up until the Ukrainian, I guess I'll call it, massacre began to occur, people were very, very psychologically affected, AFF, affected by the COVID situation with the lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera. And in other words, what I mean by that is there's no way the average American could have gone to sleep during that period at night with a clear head. They were very worried about the COVID lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera. Now we've got another worry coming up, and that worry is anybody with any intelligence can really take the step in terms of the Russian invasion one step farther by saying, you know, when you really stop and think about it, this could escalate into a major conflict involving many of the world partners. I think that could happen. So far, people have been saying, the Russians are smart enough that they're not gonna risk an atomic war over this situation. I totally disagree. I think they would. What do you think, Jim?
I don't think there's any chance that he's going to use nuclear weapons, because at that point, he is facing an entire NATO much more powerful opposing force that conventionally could take out. It would not be, nobody wins in that case. He knows that. He's not that desperate. That's my view. But your point about the psychological effect of all these crises that keep being built by senior government officials that are pushing these agendas is really taking a toll on the population. People are tense. There's, you know, these huge increases in excess mortality. There's, you know, the jabs, the pressures, the splitting of families, all these things are having a very, very damaging effect on our society.
Yeah.
Eventually, there will be blowback. And that's what we want. We've got to somehow get tamed and control, or we're going to all suffer. And I, Al, I'm going to have to break contact with this show today. I've got a bunch of things to do. I'm traveling with my family right now in North Carolina, just left Asheville. And we'll have to hit back for the weekend show tomorrow.
Okay, we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Jimmy, stick around.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.